Baby, now you ready. Baby, now you ready.
Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing good. You know, Packers got a win last week, finally got in a good-sided column in a huge game this weekend, so...
Yeah, looking to be above 500 for the first time this season, going against a team that is undefeated, 2-0, and here to represent that team, among many other teams at Full Press Coverage. We'll maybe touch on that more later on this season, foreshadowing to future episodes, potentially, but we're here right now to talk about this Week 3 matchup with the 49ers, and of course, 49ers, or Full Press Coverage 49ers Managing Editor, Ryan Adverderata, here to join us. Ryan, how are you doing?
Doing great. Looking forward to a Sunday night.
Yeah, of course, NFL season, here we are in gear. Funny, both the Packers and 49ers have recently played the Lions, come off victories against the Lions. So first off, we haven't really touched on that, Jesse. Week two recap. Basically, the quick recap is, you know, Packers beat the division rival Lions 35-17. They were trailing 17-14 at halftime, so a really good second half by them. I think what we did last year, every time the Packers won a game, something that I'll be calling this year Packers Prime Performer. Alliterations are awesome, so we'll go with that. But just quick thoughts. I think it's pretty obvious, but who do you think was the Packers Prime Performer of that Week 2 victory against the Lions?
I don't know if it's super, super obvious. I mean, unless you're thinking punter, but Devondre Campbell, I thought... Okay, so first of all, it was a game of two halves. The first half... even the offense, you know, started rolling a little bit, but I mean, it was kind of seeing shades of week one, right? Like we couldn't get into gear, but then the second half, you know, they actually started looking like the team that we think they can be. You know, was it perfect the second half? No, but you know, they threw a shutout and scored a lot of points, you know, and won decisively against, let's be honest, against a bad Lions team. They got fight in them, you know, which, you know, that matters, but they're not a good roster right now. So those are the games you have to win, right? So I'm curious to hear who your player of the game was, because I would go with Campbell. I think he showed that, you know, he belongs, had a lot of tackles. He can actually cover. Hey, right now the Packers are the number one team in the league in tackling. You never think that after how bad we've been. So, and he's played a pretty big role in that for me.
And I guess considering the biggest threats for the Lions, the tight ends, the running backs, positions where he would end up being covering, and so responsible for a lot of the defensive game plan, that actually is a really good point. Not who I was thinking, to be honest. Maybe just the offense, four touchdowns, Aaron Jones scoring all four of them. The offense scored five, but Jones himself scoring four. It seemed to be obvious, and especially because it wasn't just... 4 1-yard, like, okay, the offensive line pushed the space and he just ran behind them. Like, these were, you know, a few of these receiving touchdowns where he was out in space having to make the catch, turn around, get upfield, create yards for himself. I know there was one where Alan Lazard ended up making a good or two good blocks, you know, two players out of the play to help him get into the end zone. But for the most part, I thought Jones created on his own really well and find the end zone four times. I think a significant enough score. That's why I thought Jones, but you might have it with Campbell. Maybe we'll revisit this before the end of the episode. That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Jones, you know, he put up the numbers and the stats and everything. So yeah, he should win it. You know me, I like to break it down and see the smaller things, because it is, the season is young, and I think we're going to have some more big games out of Jones. So that's probably why I didn't, but I we'll talk about it at the end.
So Ryan, curious, because again, you know, beating the Lions in week one for the 49ers, then again, Eagles in week two. What do you think so far of the 49ers season now that they're sitting 2-0?
It's been an interesting 2 weeks. You see what the team can do. You see how exciting the team can be. But you also see how there's still a lot of changes that are happening. First of all, the offensive line looks great. It's amazing how just changing the center with Alex Mack coming over this year changes a lot of things. But seeing the offensive line, seeing how good the defensive line has been, and then also just kind of seeing like the last 2 weeks of fourth quarter uneasiness, I'll just put it that way, that's been very interesting to watch.
I'm getting an uneasy feeling for this Packers game, to be honest. But before we get into that specifically, there is a bit of news, and I do say news kind of in quotations, because this is very predictable news, literally predictable. Jesse kind of predicted this a couple months ago. I'm going to give him too much credit because it kind of seems obvious now, but Packers waiving Jay Sternberger coming off the suspension. They were able to not have to make that decision until this week, but they decided to keep the other four tight ends. One thing I noticed in that Lions game was Dominic Daphne lining up as a fullback, something they've done with Sternberger before. I think back to a certain 49ers playoff game that I don't want to think back to, but in that game they had Sternberger kind of that fullback, that versatile piece. But to be honest, the Packers have really two guys that can do that between Deshaun DeGuara and now Dominic Daphne. So if that's all Sternberger really had to hold his hat on, he needed to prove that he was a better blocker receiver than those guys, and I don't think he was able to. So Jay Sternberger gone. I believe I saw that the Seahawks picked him up to the practice squad, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and you know, he just couldn't separate, right? That was the biggest thing. Like, you know, here's a third round pick, you know, and then you got undrafted free agents come in, you know, with, you know, like you're saying, Daphne. And I mean, basically, if you look at it, Big Bob Tonyan took the role of what we expected Sternberger to do. He wasn't going to win that back. And then like with the H-back stuff that they're doing with Daphne and DeGuara, which they brought him in to be a blocker, they just plain and simple do it better than Jace did. So he was an odd man out for me the whole time. And, you know, and then being suspended, that didn't help him. I mean, there was no point to cut him ahead of time, but it just is what it is. You know, it's a business, and you know, you're basically the fifth tight end because you still have Mercedes Lewis around who still blocks like a tackle, right? So there was just no roster spot for him. I wish him well, unless he plays the Packers. But a change of scenery might do him well. We'll see.
And I mean, Lewis might have to block like a tackle this week. Now, I almost wondered, did they, knowing what happened, it looks like what happened Thursday, Dominic Daphne was a, you know, no injury designation Wednesday, and then Thursday popped up on the injury report, didn't practice Friday with a hip injury, and so he's questionable for this game now. Maybe because DeGuara is also dealing with a concussion, it looks like he's gonna play, limited participant all week. I believe he's been cleared to play though, if I'm not mistaken. So at least he'll be there, but I think the bigger concern injury-wise is Elgton Jenkins. Ankle injury, hasn't practiced all week, and he is listed as doubtful. And not counting on Jenkins to be there. The only good news injury-wise for the Packers, it looks like Dennis Kelly will be playing. Now, I don't know about you, but are we expecting Dennis Kelly to be that left tackle? Because, Turner's technically done it before, but I haven't really been that impressed with his play this year. How do you think things are going to shake out on the offensive line?
Right now, I'm just the way it is and how Packers and ankles can be funny. I don't see Jenkins playing. That's a huge blow because he's been doing really well, right? That's a huge blow. I think he was rated in like the top five, you know, by PFF, which, you know, that you're playing well, especially for a guard moving out. But I'm counting him out right now. Like, he's not going to play. So they're gonna move Billy Turner over. That's just what they're gonna do. Dennis Kelly's always been kind of the right tackle, which I thought he was gonna beat Turner out, but he hasn't been healthy. But I think they're gonna move Billy over, you know, insert Ryan Kelly at right tackle and just go. It's a major blow, but it is what it is. You know, you gotta play.
Because now being down Bakhtiari, down Lucas Patrick, down Elgton Jenkins now. Getting through that depth of that offensive line that we were touting through the offseason, it's really being tested here. Young interior between Myers, Runyon, who actually has the most experience in that interior, not much more, but and then Royce Newman, so two rookies and a second-year player. Ryan, I know the 49ers dealt with a ton of injuries last year. Probably the most key was Nick Bosa. How does he look this year? I know we were kind of looking forward to the Jenkins versus Bosa matchup. As a Packers fan, really not looking up forward to Bosa versus Turner, even Bosa versus Kelly. So how is Bosa doing this year?
Honestly, he's slimmer. He did slim down this season. He looks a lot lighter, but he's just as fast. He's just as strong. Interestingly enough, it's just one of those where you're, as a 40, you know, someone who watched the 49ers, said obviously a fan. The defensive line in general just seems a lot better with him there. And he's looked very good. I mean, he had quite a battle last week against the Eagles. It's going to come down to, you know, are they going to bring pressure? Are they going to just go with the front four? He's looked great. I mean, he didn't really get anything, any kind of play or anything like that the preseason during training camp. They kind of slowed him, but they've been slow on preseason. So he's looked great. I mean, it's surprising to think that he came off basically exactly 1 year later, and he looks just as good as he's always been.
That's scary. That's kind of what I was expecting, unfortunately. Hoping for maybe not so effective early, but yeah. Now, it does seem like maybe there's a couple of other injuries in that front seven that the 49ers are dealing with, so maybe the Packers' offensive line could really focus in on Bosa. Looks like Eric Armstead questionable it looks like he didn't practice earlier in the week, but limited Friday, so maybe trending in the right direction. Kevin Grimes on the defensive line already been ruled out. Javon Kinlaw, I know Jesse, you kind of mentioned him in your Know the Foe article. He's questionable as well, so actually looks like D Ford might be maybe the healthiest of the front seven, and we don't usually say that, do we?
Yeah, D Ford and healthy don't usually go hand in hand, and I think he's a great player when he is healthy, so that they're beat up too. I mean, it's football, you know, even though it's week three, but everybody's going to have nicks and bruises. I think the Armstead, you know, if he doesn't go or if he's limited, that's big. Those guys like him, you know, there's nothing to say about Bosa. He's a stud. I mean, we know that he's going to be a problem. You game plan to try to stay out of his way, but then, you know, going the other way, Armstead's really good too. And we've always had problems with those long athletic D-line kind of guys. And that style just, it's always given us problems. So if he can't go or he's limited, you know, that kind of neutralizes maybe a little bit of our youth and stuff like that. But yeah, it's that front seven in the safeties, they're tough. But I will say, you know, the Niners, which was surprising to me because, you know, this is a good defense. They've been really bad against the run this year. They're averaging over, you know, 5 yards per carry on them. So that might be something to look at. Now, I don't think it's going to last like that all year because it's just too good of a group and it's small sample size. But, you know, maybe we can get some of the running game going, you know, and kind of open up the offense, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a minute. But I just want to throw that out there because I was surprised when I saw that.
Maybe this is the game they've been waiting for to unleash A.J. Dillon.
Right. We have them both on the field at the same time, you know.
Slow that pass rush down, maybe. But right. Speaking of running backs, I think, you know, it's Jones and Dillon. There's not much to talk about with the Packers, but certainly for the 49ers, it's a lot of names to know, a lot of injuries, unfortunately. So, Ryan, can you keep us up to date on the running backs? I don't know how long we have on the podcast to talk about the position, but it seems like it's been a revolving door there.
Yeah, so obviously Raheem Mostert basically out for the season after week one. Big blow, but that was always kind of a thing with him where you're just kind of worried about his availability. And then last game, you know, you saw, well, actually week one, you saw Elijah Mitchell kind of just having his breakout performance as his first career game, gets over 100 yards as a rookie. The week two game against the Eagles just kind of saw like a parade of injuries. There were four running backs on the roster. Only one of them did not have an injury designation following the game. Trace Irving had his first carry and then got a concussion on the play. You know, he looked good in the one carry. He did clear concussion protocols, so he's available this week. I believe Elijah Mitchell is questionable, but he might be able to play this weekend. Jamichael Hasty, who also has been a great back so far this year, he's out. I believe it's an ankle injury. And then you have I believe it's Trent Cannon, who they signed before the Eagles game. So you have those three, and I'm sure they're going to call someone up if they haven't already to be that fourth running back. But, I mean, at this point with the Kyle Shanahan offense, you're just looking for someone who's healthy and who holds on to the football. I mean, we've seen him go through, I want to say, at least a dozen running backs since he's arrived in since he arrived in 2017. And all of them, for the most part, have been productive. He doesn't just go with one guy, you know, he rides the hot hand. So he's going to go with whoever's healthy. And if Sermon does it, or if Cannon does it, whoever can do it, he's going to put you in the game and he's going to put you in positions to make plays.
Will there ever be a game where Kyle Juszczyk just gets like 10 carries?
Honestly, like I'm just waiting for that day because he's honestly a guy who's especially if they have a lot of goal line stuff. Like, he's going to get the short yardage stuff. He's agile enough. I'm just waiting for that one day where he goes off for like 120 all-purpose yards or something like that, where he's just catching everything and just running the ball for like first downs.
Yeah, and with that offensive line, you know, I think the three of us could have a little bit of production behind that line in the way they're playing right now. I mean, that line is really good. Trent Williams is he's playing out of his mind, rated the number one tackle right now, left tackle in the league. I mean, yeah, the Tomlinson's playing good. The whole line, I mean, that unit, you know, and especially with Kyle Shanahan's system, it's plug and play, like you're saying. So, I mean, as long as you're disciplined and you know how to run in that system, you should have pretty good success. So that it's I hate to, you know, we're playing them this week, but I really just am fascinated by that zone scheme because it works.
And Ryan, you mentioned this, that the you know, for the 49ers, both the offensive and defensive line are playing well. For the Packers, it kind of really hasn't been in either case, but certainly I'm really worried about that defensive line. As Jesse mentioned, Devondre Campbell, it's been a lot of the second level tackling. The linebackers have been playing well, but outside of Kenny Clark, the rest of the defensive linemen have not really. We've kind of expected the Kiki Kingsley breakout not happening yet. Every time Tyler Lancaster's on the field, it seems like he's getting pushed around. Lowry's, yeah, invisible as always, right? Like, he never bad enough that you point out and notice him, but never good enough that you point out and notice him either. So it's again, we talked about it with the Saints game. If Kenny Clark could get beat his man and get into the backfield, he'd make the play. But if he couldn't, then it was up to the linebackers, and it was usually after getting a few yards close to a first down every time. It's the early down success really hasn't been there for the line at all for the Packers, not letting those pass rushers get to third and long situations very often. So that's kind of hurting them. I'll be honest, I'm really concerned here as a Packers fan. I'm kind of expecting the 49ers to win this game. I just the history of the Packers traveling out to the West Coast is kind of against them. Last year being the exception, but on a decimated with injuries 49ers team, worse than they are now. You know, imagine that. I don't know. I'm getting a lot of bad feelings here. I think the Elgton Jenkins injury has just put it over the edge for me, where I could see that the Packers just really struggling on offense, not getting very much going until very late when the game's out of reach, and like a few 49ers games a couple years ago. Jesse, am I being too pessimistic here, or am I properly preparing the Packers fans for a letdown Sunday night?
So I don't, I'm not right quite there. Is it going to be a tough game? Yeah. I don't really expect a win, but they got to keep it close, right? That's the biggest thing. You know, it's week three. Huge concern traveling to the West Coast, because we haven't, let's be honest, we've sucked since we've been going to the West Coast, besides, you know, playing against that 49er team last year that didn't have any players. But that's my biggest concern. But Matt LaFleur can scheme this. There are holes on this 49er team. Like, you know, I know Packer Nation, San Francisco's been this huge boogeyman to us lately. It's not the same team. This is a good team, but this is not the same team, in my opinion. There's still holes. I mean, their cornerbacks, not good. They're just, you know, one of the rookie Lenore's playing decent, but he was beat on some deep plays that could have been, you know, that one, the player stepped out of bounds, but he still caught it. There's a few others that he was burned deep. So these corners can be had. They're not good. But saying that, you know, when you got a great defensive line that, you know, you can't get through your route tree, that helps, right? You know, you got good safeties that, you know, can cover up some of these deficiencies. But I think Matt LaFleur, if he can scheme this up right, use a lot of motion, you know, get AJ Dillon in the backfield, and then you can have Jones try to, you know, use motion and slow down this pass rush a little bit, and maybe get these receivers the ball quick in space against these corners, you know, and kind of use a short passing game as your running game. We can score. The biggest scare for me, like you said, is the D line and stopping the Niners. You know, if they can just run at will and control the clock, yeah, it's going to be a bad, bad day. You know, if we can't get pressure, which we haven't been doing all year, it's going to be bad. If Kevin King is on the field, wow. Now they're talking. I don't know what he has on this coaching staff, but you know, they're talking about that he's still good and he, you know, putting him in the slot. I'm like, no, like, he just get him off the field. He needs to be off the field. The Niners are going to pick on him if he's out there. So that's where I'm scared is, you know, I think the offense can score, but can the defense hold up, you know? But hey, any given Sunday, right? You know, I don't expect a blowout, but if, you know, I could see, you know, like the Niners 30, us 27 or vice versa. I think it can be a good game. You know, I think the teams match up well.
Actually, that is something I did want to address. I think I kind of mentioned like half jokingly, like, you know, could Kevin King get into the slot maybe, you know, covering the underneath routes. So I don't know if Joe Barry was listening to that episode and decided to implement that, but you really shouldn't be getting your defensive calls from me probably. But notice that, yeah, they're got to say Stokes is, you know, playing well. He doesn't, he looks like he belongs, and I don't think it's going to be too long before he's firmly the number two corner for the Packers.
And he needs to be. Like, listen, you didn't play the guy in the preseason. Why are you not playing him in the preseason? Because he should be your guy and you don't want him to get hurt. Because if he's not your guy, why the heck was he not playing? So, and then now when you see him out there, he's made plays. He shows, I mean, just by his movement skills, this kid belongs. Like, you see Kevin King on those deep balls, he just doesn't move right. Like, it's just, it's ugly. It's bad. And then, you know, you see the rookie Stokes out there. Sure, he's a rookie. He's going to take his lumps like all rookie corners do. But, man, that athleticism and how he can close, you know, he made big pass breakups when we needed him. He's grading out really nice. Like, he needs reps. There's no reason why he shouldn't stay on the field. Now, if you want to sneak Kevin King in the slot a little bit and do some different things that way, fine. But Stokes should not lose reps because of Kevin King. Like, that baffles me why that's even an option.
Now, with Jair Alexander, the question is not how well will he play, but how will the Packers deploy him? Am I thinking just because of the hot streak that Deebo Samuel has right now, is that something where they want Alexander to plaster Deebo and then they'll worry about Kittle kind of as a committee using the linebackers and safeties together to kind of contain him and maybe leave Stokes against whoever's the other receiver, whether it's Sherfield, Ayuk. Does that make sense, Jesse? How would you approach it? Just kind of let people play their sides and not even matter, worry so much about matchups?
I think the Packers aren't going to do what we want, but I mean, that makes the most sense, right? Like, yeah, Deebo has been killing it. I mean, he's leading the league in receiving yards right now, and nobody's seemed to slow him down. So why don't you take the best corner and put him on him all day long and try to limit that talent? You know what I mean? Like, it's a no-brainer to me. And then, you know, you let everybody else handle what they do. But unfortunately, I don't know if the Packers are going to do that. And if Deebo gets in the slot, ends up with King or something like that, it's not going to be good. So I would do that. I think that makes the most sense, where you just say, Jair, that's your dude. You know, stay with him all day and, you know, figure it out. You know, Kittle's a monster, and slowing him down or stopping him with the other guys is going to be hard, but figure it out, you know. But hey, we'll see.
Now, Ryan, I guess you could address that too, like the coverage plan with Alexander on Deebo and like that. But also, I guess the question is, you know, Brandon Ayuk, the great rookie season last year for the first round pick. What's kind of happened so far early in the season to him?
Yeah, so with Brandon Ayuk, like, it's been an interesting ride so far, because, like you said, his rookie season, great season, did a lot of things. You could see just the potential and the talent that he has. And so far this year, he's gotten one catch. That was last week's game, and he hasn't really seen the field a lot. When kind of pushed in press conferences, Kyle Shanahan just kind of said, like, he needs to learn how to be a professional. And there had been talk that maybe he just wasn't taking the training camp and preseason as serious enough. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan, regardless of your draft status or anything like that, if he doesn't think that he can count on you to do your job, he's not going to play you. And that's one of his big things, for better or for worse. If he doesn't trust you to do your job, he's not going to put you in there. It doesn't matter your talent. So that's where it's kind of gone from there. I do think that he's going to be worked in a little bit more, because from what we've been hearing, he's been a lot better over the last few weeks, especially in practice. So it comes down to, I think the Packers should, and I think they will, you know, put Jair Alexander on Deebo Samuel the entire game. That would make the most sense, and that would be the logical choice. Deebo Samuel has just been amazing this year, like you guys said. He's just gets open, and the best thing about him is you give him a 5 or 7 yard pass, and he can break it, for the long run because of the fact that he's just so elusive with the football. I think though that this actually plays into the hand of the 49ers, where it's a matter of, okay, well, now you have the ability to bring in and really use George Kittle more, because Deebo Samuel has been the main focal point on the offense in the passing game, and George Kittle has pretty much just kind of been there as a decoy and a big block for the run game. So I think obviously he's going to get a lot more play this week. I think he's going to get a lot more attention this week from the offense. And I think it'll be he'll probably have I think it's going to be a breakout game for him this season, or at least for this year so far. I think it's going to be his big game early, and he's gonna make some catch. I think he's going to probably finish with like 8 or 9 catches at least.
Oh, I don't like to hear that, but I agree. That just the tight ends and how they've killed Packers, it seems like the last 10 years now, and it's like, oh my God, George Kittle is one of the best football, not just tight end, one of the best football players. So that doesn't sound good, but yeah, it could be one of those games.
And with Kittle's ability after the catch, 5 catches, he could kill us. So if you give him 8, that's not good. That's really not good. I guess, were there any other players to kind of mention? I mean, I guess we could talk about, Tonyan getting the touchdown last week, the Packers tight end. Do we think he's going to be a big factor in this game? Again, trying to combat the pass rush, is that lower depth of targets, meaning, Tonyan, Aaron Jones, maybe, and whoever's the slot receiver, probably a lot of Davante Adams, to be honest. Is it going to be concentrated on those three? Or are they going to purposely try and spread it out, get more Randall Cobb involved? I'd like to see Lazard get more targets. But I think I know I still view him as the number 2 receiver on this Packers team, but I don't know, maybe I'm alone in that.
So the thing with Tonyan, the touchdown machine, right? Like, he just finds ways to score, but I don't like the matchup this week, just with the speed and the talent that the Niners have at linebacker, and then these two safeties. I think it's a tough matchup for him, and the Niners do good against tight ends, so obviously, he's going to be out there. Maybe he could sneak a touchdown or, scheme up something for him. But this is the big game, which now, how are you going to cover Adams, especially with these corners? I think that's a mismatch. If Adam, same thing with Kittle, 8, 9 catches, that's going to be Adams, get it to him quick and let him just feast on these corners. But also, we got to get Lazard, like you said, and MVS going in this offense. Last week, could have had a touchdown to Lazard. He was breaking wide open. That one went to Tonyan. So he got open, and MVS was open all day. Rodgers just missed him, or for some reason just didn't, going through his progressions, didn't throw it to him. But he was open deep. He could have had 3 or 4 touchdowns. I mean, that's how, how he was. So he's beaten coverage just for whatever reason. Him and Rodgers are not on the same page, probably because, they didn't do a lot of preseason and offseason, but that's another story. But this could be the game, where, dink and dunk, try to kill him, with the short passing game, and then maybe hit a play action or go over the top and, maybe get a big play out of MVS. That's someone else has to do something, is what I'm saying. So Tonyan, I don't see a huge game, but maybe a big play by Lazard or MVS could really, really benefit this team.
When talking about Tonyan, one of the things is, okay, going over the middle might get covered by a linebacker, maybe, say, Fred Warner. And Jesse, you got to reference again your Know the Foe article this week, and something you referenced within that article, talking about something Aaron Rodgers said about Fred Warner last year. So just want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, after the game last year, and the Packers, beat him up pretty bad, but he told Fred Warner, he said, "You're the best in the business." The instinctive, and he's up there, right? I mean, if he's not the best, he's top 3, in my opinion. The guy's just that good. He's all over the field. He's super smart player. And that's high compliments coming from Rodgers telling him personally. He's like, "You are the best in the business." And there's some good ones. So I don't want to mess with that dude. It just seems like each week, he can make a play that can change the game or tilt the field, So just you try to stay away. Now, you know, in the running game and stuff, running right at him, that might be your better benefit because, you know, he is one of the little smaller, fast linebacker. But you let him fly around or make plays or, you know, in the passing game, try to go over the middle, he can hurt you.
So, Ryan, do you agree with Aaron Rodgers saying that Fred Warner might arguably be the best in the business when it comes to the inside linebackers?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, if he's not number one, then, you know, he's probably like two. I would probably put him at two, if anything. I mean, maybe you say Bobby Wagner is still, you know, the top linebacker in the league. But, I mean, it's one of those where give him another year or two, he might be undisputed number one. But Fred Warner is just – there's a reason why he's called All-Pro Fred. And it's because, I mean, the man is just – he's a tackling machine. He's like you said, he's like you guys said, he's instinctive. He's fast. He just knows how to play the game. And it's interesting because this year so far, especially week one, they struggled against Hopkins and, you know, the tight end for the Lions. And part of that was, you know, new scheme. They're still using it in the regular season. They made some changes with D'Amico Ryans being the defensive coordinator now, but last week, you know, against Goddard and Ertz, they did an amazing job. You know, they did a great job of just kind of cutting out the passing game, forcing the Eagles to throw everything short. And a lot of it was the linebacking group, and not just Fred Warner, but, you know, like they have Ashir, who's also there. He's basically taking over for Greenlaw, right, who's out. But those two guys, and then you had a big guy that they really added in week two to really take away the tight ends was Jimmy Ward, the safety, the free safety. And, you know, he's a great coverage guy. The 49ers used him at cornerback in the past. They've, you know, kind of kept him now at free safety, and he's quietly become one of the better safeties in the league. And it's because he can cover so well. So if the 49ers can minimize you know, the deep play with Parker, just kind of let him catch underneath and just kind of tackle him up, no problems, then they'll be able to use Ward in the slot and just to kind of help them out as much as possible.
Well, hopefully this entire episode and I helped you, the listeners, kind of contextualize this game and again, understand my worry and panic. As we've outlined, there's a lot of talent on that 49ers team, both sides of the football. As I guess we haven't mentioned special teams yet. We like our punter better so far, 2 weeks, and it's been consistent, right? Two solid weeks for Bohorquez, and that's all we need, right? two solid games means you're consistent. No, it's going to have to be something that continues through the season, but so far looking, again, I mean, you know, and J.K. Scott has went through stretches of, you know, multiple games in a row where he looked good, so it still has to avoid the any big bad negative punts, but haven't seen any from Bohorquez yet. So so far, again, looking like a good trade. Probably, it's funny, you would have thought that, okay, they're trading for a punter, they're trading for Randall Cobb in the month of August. We probably would have said, oh, the Cobb one was more impactful. I don't think that's the case right now.
No, and Cobb had a good week last week. We haven't really talked about it, but he caught, what, 3 third down catches? So Rodgers is looking to him, you know, and that's his little safety blanket. So it's nice to see. You know, is he the Cobb of 5-6 years ago? No, but, you know, that's a nice little role. But, yeah, just having a punting game where it's not like, oh, crap, he's going to punt 120 yards this time. It's, you can breathe a little bit easier when the Packers special team's been out. Now, knock on wood somewhere, because we don't need any blunders on special teams this week.
No, this is one where, yeah, I think, you know, no penalties as well, like, or very minimal penalties. I think if the Packers are going to win this, and what I view as the unlikely scenario where it happens, they've got to play basically perfect football, not make mistakes, not shoot themselves in the foot, because, you know, the 49ers are going to be after them trying to force them to make mistakes, so don't make the mistakes for them, right? And so, yeah, I think we'll see. Well, maybe, you know, you did maybe give me a little bit more hope, Jesse. And so maybe I'll be a little bit more optimistic going to that Sunday night game. But again, certainly think this is a tough test. And, gonna, you know, I think we outlined it when we talked about the schedule. It's a tough schedule kind of throughout the season. So, you know, not to take any game for granted, really, and go through this as best they can.
Like you're saying, you know, you got to play clean football and let's just play 60 minutes. You know, I can't just play a half because they're going to kick our butt. So 60 minutes, clean football, we might have a good game.
So, Ryan, is there anything you want to plug, Twitter account, any work you're doing?
Yeah, so definitely, I mean, if people want to learn more about the 49ers, definitely follow us on fullpresscoverage.com. Also, fullpress49ers on Twitter. You can go ahead and follow us there. That also links to my own personal account. So in case you also want to hear me talk about football, and also right now, baseball is still going on. So there's the playoffs coming up. So there's also that. So if you want to see someone ranting about San Francisco Giants baseball as well, definitely give me a follow. But no, I'm with you guys. Like, it's going to be a good game. I'm excited. You know, Sunday night, Kyle Shanahan always has some special plays cooked up where, you know, for the offense. So it'll be interesting to see. And you guys said, like, if whichever team makes the mistakes is going to be the one that loses. It's going to be that simple. I think they're a lot closer in talent than some people give them, you know, credit. But I think it's going to come down to whoever makes the least amount of mistakes is going to win.
Agreed.
All right. Jesse and Ryan are convincing me this will be closer than I originally think. Hoping for that anyway. Just not even for Packers fans' sake, but for football fans' sakes. We want to end Sunday with a good, you know, incredibly close game, kind of like the week two Sunday night game. That was incredible. If it can be that close and it comes down to like the very end like that, I'd say for the Packers, that's probably a win in itself, kind of a measuring stick against the 49ers. Even if they lose, a close game to a 3-0 49ers team, that's a better measuring stick than what it was in 2018, where, oh good, they were the number two seed but got completely destroyed twice by the number one seed. That's not a good feeling, both regular season and playoffs. So definitely hoping to avoid that.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. That's in the past. And that was, yeah, leave that. Let's bury that one.
All right, we're here in 2021. Let's make 2021 comments, and you the listeners can do that too. Follow us along on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Your co-hosts individually, Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. As always, download the Full Press Coverage app. It's available for free on Android and iOS stores. Also want to shout out PA the Second, who lets us use the song Nah You as our intro and outro music. He can be found on Twitter at @PA_IIOfficial, and I suggest checking it out because just dropped an album this week. And so Ela V, part of the Ela series, he's put out. So it should be available for purchase in the coming weeks everywhere in the world. So wherever you're listening, definitely check out PA the Second and his music. Again, that Twitter account is @PA_IIOfficial. So again, thank you very much, Ryan, for coming. We always appreciate talking to you and having you share all your football knowledge with us.
Oh, definitely. Thanks for having me.
And Jesse, any final thoughts for the listeners?
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on here, Ryan. And as always, go Pack O.
I know what I perceive a difficult matchup, I'll be cheering that really hard. And you can find out if we're right or wrong. So tune in next time. Full Press Packers Pod.